Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Everyone have the day off. It's such a big sporting weekend. It was big last night. Penrith over the Broncos, Socceroos over Lebanon, St Kilda beat Collingwood, Sheffield Shield final day one underway as well. Confirmation, James, those who listen to Breakfast with Vossie and Missile, in this case on a Friday, are the smartest audience anywhere in radio, in this country at least, because St Greg has come up with a text. He says, "Hello, boys. You can't have Good Friday on a Tuesday. Happy Easter." That explains it.
Well, then that would also throw into question, what's it called? Pancake Tuesday? Shrove Tuesday? Ash Wednesday? Easter Sunday? He's onto something there.
Yeah. Yeah. So St. Greg, that explains it pretty much.
But why did it become that in the first place? Ash Wednesday, Pancake Tuesday. Is that still a thing, Pancake Tuesday?
Did you
do that at school? We had pancakes on Monday a year at school. I think it was at the start of Lent. I'm going to get in trouble off my mum because I'm not remembering my religious dates, and I am a devout Catholic.
And as we've learnt before, oh, well, that's right. That reminds me of the Les Smith and Jones, that great English comedy series where the two of them are looking at each other and say, "Oh, how are things at home? Well, not bad. I've had a bit of trouble with the missus." "Yeah, what about?" He said, "Yeah, we're arguing about the Pope." He said, "Oh, that's a bit stupid. You know she's Catholic." He said, "Oh, no, she is. I didn't know the Pope was." This is one of the great, that was a good series, Les Smith and Jones. Now, away from that, we're told that even fantails are at the Windsor Candy Shop. I think we need to call them up. Would they be open before 9? Just to confirm, we're getting unconfirmed reports that they have Birdie Beetles and fantails at the Windsor Lolly Shop.
Are these knockoffs? Are they making fakes? Have they found some cheap Chinese fakes or something? They could be knockoffs.
Just Windsor Lolly Shop, if you want to call Brighton's lawyers, 1-800-848-848 on that latest allegation. Mail here from Jason. He says, "Morning, boys. Wade Egan out tonight again for the Warriors against the Raiders. That's been reported on SENZ. Smithy's program." So, yeah, Smithy's underway over there. So, Wade Egan out of the sellout game in Christchurch.
Yeah, that's disappointing. That was my lock of the week, the Warriors, but I think they'll still get the job done.
SEN coverage of that game tonight right here, Home of Sport. You can listen to the Rugby League. You can get the AFL on the app. And, of course, Fox League, the only place where you can watch both matches on a Friday night. What a double it is. Warriors and Raiders, can't wait. Roosters and Rabbitohs, can't wait. Just a couple more texts before we get to our very special guest, James, because we've got to roll out the red carpet. We've got a bit of audio to play. Let's just rip into the text line, 0457 736 736.
Vossie and Missile, could you get Hemi to frame a market for Luciano Leilua to have a brain explosion tomorrow night against his former club and spend some time on the sideline? Whatever the price is, I'll put my house on it. Gamble responsibly, says Anthony.
Okay. All right. And morning, boys. James, I went to Stereosonic Music Festival 7 years ago in Sydney. As you walked in, they gave you a tin with two condoms in it. I was blown away as to why. Within 2 hours of being there, I realised why. What the hell is this music festival? Wow. Well, thank you for the honest account. We get the picture. Okay. Thank you for that. What a lead-in to our next guest. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking, you know, you throw around the term legend, but our next guest is an absolute Australian sporting legend, and not just rugby league, and not just what he did in his actual sporting playing career. He continued to serve and it was related to sport. Here's just a little bit of our next guest doing his thing in the 1968 Rugby League Grand Final for Souths.
And a chance for Cleary. There's a great chance for Cleary. He could score from here. If they can catch him, they won't get him. Cleary will go the whole distance. Cleary picking up the drop pass. He's away with no one near him. And Michael Cleary is over between the posts. Well, there it was. Cleary over between the posts to make it 7 points to nil. And what an amazing reversal of form that was. That wild pass from Batty. Cleary recovering his balance and taking off. Batty just clipping his ankles. And Cleary, with his excessive speed, is over for a wonderful try for South Sydney.
His excessive speed. So good that he won a bronze medal at what I think it was called the Empire Games then, was the Commonwealth Games. And there's a story behind that bronze medal as well. But the main motivation for getting Michael on the program today, even though it is a South Roosters day and he's presented the jersey to Jack Whiten, is he was sports minister that basically drove the push to get Sydney Football Stadium built. And at the same time, we had Parramatta Stadium built. So how does it all work? What are the machinations of getting that sort of thing through, having the vision and making it happen in light of all the dramas out of Queensland at the moment? That's a long introduction. Let's get to him. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Breakfast with Vossie and the Missile, Mr. Michael Cleary. How are you? Somewhat of an anticlimax.
After one of the great intros of all time.
Well, it was. He heard the vision and he said, that's 56 years ago, boys. Did you have to play something from 56?
Who was the commentator, Vossie?
Oh, that... Well, it might have been... was it O'Reilly from the ABC? Anyway, Michael Cleary is there. Michael, welcome to the program.
Is it you, Vossie?
It is. It is, Michael. How you been?
The aeroplane's just going over my house, so I can hardly hear you.
Oh, dear, you're under the flight path. Well, I'll get in touch with the minister. Yeah, we're Michael, hang in there. That plane will clear in just a moment. Michael, yeah, right off the top, how are you keeping? You're still...
I can hardly hear you. Maybe you should come through on the mobile.
All right, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll put Michael back on hold. We'll work out what's happening there with the line. We can call him on his mobile. Apologies about that. Just on Michael Cleary. So, with the Queensland government this week, James, saying that, well, we don't want to spend money and they're being encouraged by the AOC and all of that, I reckon it takes a lot of balls then for a government to, you know, or is balls the right expression? No, you've got to have vision. You've got to have visionaries in there to see and predict and anticipate what a state needs. And at the time, there weren't any stadiums. You know, early 80s, there wasn't anything in Sydney. We were just suburban grounds.
Mm. Well, think about where we're
SCG.
At now.
SCG was it.
Where we are that now, Vossie, as a result of the Sydney Games, their legacy to Sydney was Homebush. You have Newington now, which was the Olympic Village, which is now an entire suburb. You have ANZ Stadium, which is our centrepiece stadium, State of Origin, Grand Finals, all of that. We have the Aquatic Centre, the Track Cycling Centre, the Athletic Centre. That was the legacy for Sydney, was Homebush. What's that going to be for Brisbane?
Potentially nothing. So how hard was it to push through the Sydney Football Stadium back in the day? Michael Cleary, I think we have the line sorted out. How are you, Michael?
I'm well, thank you.
It was worth the wait, Michael. Absolute Australian sporting legend. How have you been keeping, like, what's keeping you busy these days, Michael? And you must be honoured that South Sydney have asked you to present the jersey to their latest big recruit, Jack Whiten, ahead of the game against the Roosters.
Yeah, I was very pleased, actually. I mean, I'll be 84 next month, so, I mean, to get asked about back to South Sydney with the days that I can remember with warmth, I mean, it was marvellous. And I related a few stories to the boys, and I met Jack and his family. He's a beautiful family, too. And, of course, there's Bob McCarthy out there who presented the 150 years to their captain, Cameron Murray. So it was a great day, and I was so pleased to go back.
Yeah, Cameron Murray playing his 150th game. Now, Michael, can we talk politics with you? You are sports minister back in the day where it is hatched that we're going to build a stadium in Sydney, because you had the Sydney Sports Ground. And
that's right.
You got the Sydney Football Stadium up and running, off the ground and done, correct?
Well, I got a lot of help from Neville Ram with that too, because the most interesting thing about that was there was no public funds. It was all done by selling memberships. And it's amazing also to realise that the cost was $62 million. and the replacement value was $850 million. So yeah, the prices have just gone up out of, you wouldn't believe. I mean, we thought at $62 million it was a great project, and it was too. But then they found faults with it. I'm not saying that the new one's not better. It's a lot better. It's marvellous. But the same with Parramatta. I mean, Parramatta Stadium, that was $30 million. There was $15 million from New South Wales government and $15 million from the federal government, where John Brown was the minister, and he had a special fund for international sporting facilities, and he gave us 15. We put 15. We built it for $30 million. But we had hell of a trouble out there too. You know, the Friends of Parramatta, they put restrictions on us. On height, they put restrictions about the pool. And when the new one went up, I mean, that was nearly $800,000, the new one, they moved the pool up the hill. So, you know, we had a lot of problems, but we got through them. I mean, that's the problem that we're faced with today, is the cost. So I don't know how Queensland's going to get out of their problem. I mean, the cost of building facilities now is exorbitant.
When you're building a stadium like that, Michael, are you aware of the legacy that creates for the city? This stadium serviced Sydney and had the biggest NRL matches for 30 years. Do you pre-plan that?
Yeah, we looked at what the capacity was. The old sports ground, the capacity is about 22,000. And the cricket ground had a capacity of 55,000. Although South Sydney played there in 65, we had 73,000 there. So you know, you plan to think of the future. You've got to do that. But no one considered the cost of things today. I mean, everything's just gone up beyond everything. The standard of living is just costing Australia and the world a fortune.
Mm. Michael, just on the workings of it, because we want to talk a bit about the sporting career, quite obviously. But when you, like, we want to, if politicians get elected and then, you know, you get your different portfolios. But I think we all admire vision and politicians who are strong and can make decisions and back themselves. How much of it is playing the political game when you've got to make something, a decision like this one, building stadiums, and how much is strength of character? Where do the two meet?
Well, I think you've got ideas. I mean, I never had an obligation to anyone in politics. I was an independent person, and when I went in there, I went in there with the belief that I had to do things for the people of New South Wales. I mean, when you think of it, like when I bought in Footy Tab, I mean, everyone laughed about that, but that finished up. That came in and turned over $17 million. And I mean, 10% of that money went to a special fund to improve sporting facilities. So that was $1.7 million went into a special fund that the Treasury couldn't control. It was controlled by my department. And that's the way you went through life. You looked at the future. I just had to be ambitious, I suppose.
Mike, can I ask you about your athletics career? Now, Vossi mentioned in your intro that you were a bronze medalist at potentially called the Empire Games at the time, now Commonwealth Games. Talk to me about your running career.
Well, when I was a kid, I used to just run everywhere. They couldn't catch me. No one could catch me. Anything to do with sport I could do. I wasn't any good at school. I was classified in school as a hypoactive slow learner, which turned out I had ADD and I was dyslexic. And they didn't define those sort of things then. And it wasn't until I got into Parliament and someone prepared a speech for me, I couldn't read it. And that's where I found out about the dyslexia. So, you know, I did have a problem, but as far as sport was concerned, anything I touched in sport was okay until I was 13 years of age, and all of a sudden my ability as an athlete just vanished. And the reason for that, I was too small. I was that small. You know, I used to run under the tape at 13 years of age, under the finish. I used to put the cotton wool across the finishing line. I'd run under it. And, of course, at 13 years of age, you went from 75 yards to 100 yards, and I didn't have the strength to go the distance of 100 yards. So from 13 to 16 and a half, I couldn't even get in the first, in the prep first or anything at school. I could still play sport, but I couldn't play it as well as I used to. And then March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, 1958, 17 years of age. I finished, no, it's 16 and a half years of age. I ran 100 yards and did a 10.7. And I said, gee, that's not bad. And then it's a Patrick's Day on the sports ground. I went in the race and I won at 9.8. And all of a sudden it had come back to me. So I got from not being able to do anything to being a champion again at 17 years of age. And then I went on from there to do the CAS skill sports and won the 100 yards and won the 220. And then I continued doing athletics. And it was fellas like Wally Maher and Cyril Towers, who were great players for the old Randwick days. They came to my father's shop at Bondi Junction and asked him if I would come down and play for Randwick. And I wasn't going to go and play rugby. I thought, no, I'll just stick to athletics. And Dad said, well, you want to go down? I said, yeah, I'll go down. Thought I'd get into third grade or something, but I went straight into first grade. And I thought, gee. And then I finished up. That year, I think I got 32 tries or something that year and finished it. I still got the record for the most tries at Coogee Oval, which was 7 tries in one game, which was against Eastwood.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, so then I said, oh, I might have a go for the 96, I'll have a go for the Olympic Games in Rome. And again, I got hit with a problem. I got glandular fever, and I couldn't run. I used to get out of a track, and I'd run down more Park and come in fifth and last and all sorts of things. I said, what's wrong with this? So Dad sent me to a doctor in Macquarie Street, and the doctor said, oh, I don't know what's wrong with you, but he said, take this tablet, will you? I'll give you a tablet to take. Take it an hour or so before you run. So I took the tablet, and it had no effect. And I said, he said, how'd you go? I said, it was no good. I said, what was it in the tablet? And I was lucky, though, they didn't do drug tests because it was Benzedrine.
Right.
And he said to me, he said, you've got glandular fever. I said, oh, so what do I do? He said, just take these vitamin tablets. We just, over 3 months, I took these vitamin tablets. I missed the Rome Olympics. But I tell you what, the vitamin tablets work because there was a meeting at Randwick Racecourse to raise funds for the Olympic Games, and there was Jim McCann, Don Bursell, and all those Dennis Tipping fellows I used to run against. They had that match race there, and I finished up winning that. I was too late. The games were fixed, so I didn't get the game. So that's when South approached me. They approached me when I got back from South Africa and rugby union.
Oh, yeah. Now, look, just on the commentary grab that we ran, 1968 Grand Final, lots of people came through on the text. It was Norman May commentating. It was Norman May, the great Norman May, calling that moment in the Grand Final. The rugby league career, and I know there's so many stories because we want to talk wrestling, the bronze medal that you won at the Commonwealth Games that you got presented at breakfast. But rugby league, and you were sort of a model as well, Michael. You're, you know, you were ahead of your time. Remember those days?
I was a good friend with Tony Madigan, who was the light heavyweight amateur champion, won silver medal, gold medal and everything at the Empire Games, and took Cassius Clay on at the Empire Games in Rome. And he was a male model over in America, doing very well for himself. And he said to me, listen, mate, when you turn pro, he said, you're going to make every pro a winner. So, as you remember, I played the first year at South, I had to play as an amateur. And no one believed. They thought Dad got the money, but no one got the money. I did play as an amateur. But then I took up the male modelling. And then I was getting big money. I was getting $1,500 a week, or quid in those days. And they got branded Michelle. They thought I was gay. So they used to say, lift up your skirt and run. Hit him with your handbag, Michelle.
Different times.
And I copped all that. Didn't matter. It was all part of the image. I mean, I carried on. I used to say, "What hit me in the hit you with the handbag? What, the one on my arm or the one in the bank?" You know, and all that sort of thing. So I got away with that. But I made a lot of money out of that sort of thing. I remember Thompson Ford ads. I used to get. I think I got $2,000 for that, and I got the use of a Ford Galaxy car. And we're talking about 1965, 1966. And I copped it, but it's a way of life. Look, all through my life, as doors opened, if I was given the opportunity, I took advantage. I
stepped in there absolutely.
And worked hard. I worked hard at it.
And then a door open for wrestling commentary, Michael. We can't let you go. Who was your top three favourite wrestlers? George Animal Steel? Was it Ox Baker? Was it Mario Milano? Who were your favourite wrestlers?
Mario Milano was a lovely fella. Bulldog Brow was a funny fella. And also Brute Bernard was a funny fella also. But that was a fluke. I used to go down, I used to live at Darling Point with Mum and Dad. And Don Lane, who's a good friend of mine, lived just down the road from me. And we used to walk down through Roscoe's Bay Park to the...
Oh, no, the line dropped out at the vital moment there of the wrestling. People, by all means, in the last half hour of the program, if you want to ring the open line, what you remember about professional wrestling on Channel 9, this is even back in the black and white days, James, where it started, but every Saturday there would be, at the Channel 9 studios, professional wrestling. Michael is back there. So how did it, let's get to the crunch. How do you get your start as a wrestling commentator, Michael?
Well, as I started to tell the story about Don Lane, was a mate of mine who lived down the road from your Darling Point. We'd go across Roscutters Bay Park to the stadium, and we'd sit on a Friday night to watch the wrestling. And the announcer would say, oh, there's Don Lane. They'd all cheer, and they'd say, there's Mike Cleary. And they'd all say, cheer, oh, we'll have those supporters. Yeah, cheer, cheer, cheer. And the fellow called Jim Barnett, who was the promoter, he grabbed me at halftime and said, oh, I didn't know you were so popular. He said, come up to my office and we'll have a talk. I said, if you're involved with the wrestling. I said, I'm going to go up to your office, up at Chevron Hotel. I said, no, I'm not worried about that. I said, Don Lane said, hang on, what are you doing? He said, you better think about that. So the next week he had a shot at me again. He said, well, you can become a commentator. I said, all right. And Roy Heffernan was the Australian wrestler, and he gave me a magazine or sheet which taught me all the holds. He said, look, everything's a lock, an arm lock, leg lock, wrist lock. So I learned them all backwards, and then that's how I became World Championship Wrestling, which was good. We used to do Sydney and Brisbane, and you know, we used to get a 14 rating in Sydney, which at Wild World of Sport used to be on first, and then we'd come up, we were on Casey, and then we'd come in with the wrestling. And I remember when the elections were on in 73, Jack Ferguson said to me, come on, we better start doing some door knocking. So I said, okay. So we lasted about half an hour. I said, well, he said, I'll go up the pub. I said, what do you mean up the pub? He said, every time I knock on someone's door and they open it, he said, there's you on the TV doing the wrestling, which used to go on at midday on a Saturday and a Sunday. So we finished up the pub and didn't have to go walking around the streets at all.
Well, you've taught us a lot today, Michael. As I said earlier in the program, could have you on for 2 hours talking about league, talking about athletics, your life, wrestling, politics. We just appreciate the time you've given us, Michael. Great to hear that you're keeping well, and great that South Sydney are keeping you in the fold, a legend of the club, and you're part of the build-up to a big one against the Roosters.
A big one tonight. We'll go to the Rabbitohs, mate. Thanks, Foster. You know, listen, when do you go to bed? I mean, what's your last night call? I put it in there, you're on the radio.
That's a good question, Michael. That's a very good question.
No, absolutely. When opportunity knocks, you've got to have a few side hustles like you had, Michael. No modelling involved. No modelling.
I might do an interview on you, too, because you're like me. You never stop work.
A lot of similarities, Michael. Vossi runs everywhere, and he's also a male model.
I know. He's also got a bit of weight on him, too.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thank you for your support. Can't wait until we catch up again.
Oh, thanks, Bossy. James, thank you. I've enjoyed it very much. Thanks indeed.
They're good man. Michael Cleary. There you go. But let's do some wrestling talk back in the last half hour of breakfast with Vossie and the Missile Breakfast. Powered by Kubota, take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments.
Breakfast powered by Kubota, take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments. Bit of reaction there to Michael Cleary, Vossie. Rivalries aside, what a champion bloke Mike Cleary is, says Pedro the Rooster. Paramat and a great knockout punch from the legendary Michael Cleary. Great interview, boys.
G'day, lads. Ripping interview with Michael Cleary. Can you confirm, is there any relationship between Michael, Ivan and Nathan? No, unrelated. Hit him with your handbag, Michelle. That was the cry. That was the cry for Michael Cleary. And this one, I'll never forget JJ Dillon putting his cigar, possibly unlit out in Mario Milano's eye. Quite a big incident in the wrestling back in the day. Let's go to the news. A big last half hour. Hemi Goodman standing by from Sportsbet.
Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
Hemi Goodman from Sportsbet. Happy Friday. How are you getting it, Hemi?
Morning, Missile. No, look, I'm good, mate. Good, mate. Ready for a big weekend of sport. Doubleheader of footy tonight. So very excited. Very excited. How are you travelling?
Travelling well, Hemi. I'm on a Warriors-Roosters double for a multi tonight. What are the markets saying at Sportsbet?
Well, I tell you what, Missile, the Warriors, well, as you know, they haven't won a game yet, but they're $1.40 favourites at home this evening. The Raiders are on top of the ladder. $3 head-to-head. How's this for a start? Warriors have lost each of their last six matches against the team sitting on top of the ladder. Bit of food for thought for you there. Not great news maybe for your multi-missile. And they haven't just been winning, but they've been winning well. They didn't win a game by more than 12 points all of last season. Mm. This year they've won both their games 13+. Raiders 13+, $7.75. So I'm just having a look at the current form lines, and those are the ones that have leapt out at me this morning.
Value. Has that market in the Roosters-Rabbits game changed at all since the announcement of Damien Cook shifting to the bench?
Well, the Roosters have actually come in a little bit. They're $1.64. The Rabbitohs, $2.26. Plenty going on for the Rabbitohs. Sacked their halfback. You mentioned Cook to the bench. Off-field distractions out the wazoo. Everything's against the Bunnies, it's got to be said. The line is 2.5 points, and our punters are pretty keen on the Roosters minus 2.5. I'm a big narrative guy, Missile, for me. In the anytime try scorer market, Angus Crichton recalled for the Roosters this week. Great performances in the New South Wales Cup. He scored in his last two against his old club at Allianz. $6 anytime try scorer against his old club this evening, Angus Crichton. And speaking of players against their old teams, I did hear the question off the text line a little bit earlier. Can we get a market on Leilua to get sent off against the Cowboys? I can't give you that, but I can give you $5.25 for him to score against his old side at Jubilee Stadium on Saturday night.
Luciano Leilua. Now, Formula One Grand Prix. We've got the first and second practice sessions this afternoon. 12:30 practice session number one, 4 o'clock practice session number two. What about overall prices for the F1 Grand Prix here in Melbourne?
Mackie Verstappen absolutely winks like Vossi. $1.14 to win this thing. The next shortest price is Sergio Perez at $13. So it looks like it's going to be one-way traffic. We'll try to find a little bit of value here in a moment. As far as the Aussies are concerned, Oscar Piastri is $71 and Daniel Ricciardo a whopping $451 to win the Melbourne Grand Prix. But where can we find a bet here? To top qualifying, Max Verstappen, you're getting $1.57. So a little bit more value there for the bloke who just seems to be winning just about everything in the F1 at the moment. But if we want to get around an Aussie for the weekend, maybe Oscar Piastri for a top six finish. That'll get you $2.12. So not a lot of value in the outright market, but maybe the qualifying and the top six markets there.
What about your Tigers this weekend, Hemi? What are your chances?
Look, I am a little bit wary of the Tigers this weekend. They have firmed up a little bit overnight, though, Mister. They were $4.20 head-to-head yesterday. They're into $3.78 as we go to air this morning. The line as well yesterday was 12.5. It's into 10.5 this morning. So there is something in the air. Just looking out the window this morning, Mister, there's a bit of an 0-5 feel in the air. So can we have a bit of a on Saturday afternoon?
Right.
Oh, Bossy, we'll see you there.
Yeah, I'll be there. I've already said I'm going to have a double cone ice cream going in and I'm going to have a double cone going out of Leichhardt Oval tomorrow night, calling the game for Fox League.
Very good. Just before I let you go, Missile, your boys tomorrow at Belmore in the Toby Sexton Cup. You are the $1.80 favourite against the Gold Coast Titans, $2.05. So good luck tomorrow as well.
Beautiful.
Yeah, okay, excellent. The Toby Sexton Cup. Hemi Goodman from Sportsbet. Good gear, as always, right here on Breakfast with Vossi and the Missile.
Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
We're here for Brighton's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Brighton's Lawyers. And you can contact us on 1300 01 117. You've got a stack of calls lined up, Vossi. And we'll start off with Rusty from Redbank. Good morning.
Hey guys, how are you? Bossy
good, Dave. Rusty.
Our man used to take us down the water pavilion to see like Bulldog Brower, Haystacks Calhoun,
Killer Carl Cox, Andre the Giant. It was fantastic as kids, and we always had the best seat because Nan would rouse on anybody who stood up in front of her grandkids. Old Hilda, she was an old 10-pound mom. She could have had a rest of herself, I reckon. But yeah, no, it was a fence. Used to the sleeper hole too, Bossy, my brother and I, and each other, Mark Lewin used to do.
Of course, the sleeper hold behind the neck, and all of a sudden, you know, within 15 seconds, James, you should learn it. You just passed out. Rusty, great walk down memory lane. Good on you, mate. Thanks for calling in. I think Paul Lecamere wants to do the same thing, James. Wrestling, here we go. Paul.
G'day, guys. Just wanted to say what a wonderful show you've got this morning. It brings back me many, many memories with, as that gentleman just said, with Barrett, the Bulldog Bob Brower, Killer Carl Cox, the Von Steiger brothers, etc. My favourite was going down to the stadium with the grandmothers and the kids with the pyjamas, etc. The cage matches, etc. And Mark Lewin and King Curtis going out on New South Head Road and smashing each other's heads into a VW.
How much did you pay to get into these shows? Paul, can you remember? It would be cents in the
I can remember it very vividly. It was they went out on New South Head Road and they just stopped this VW and they just, I think King Curtis was smashing Mark Lewin's head into, or vice versa, into the VW. It was fantastic. It would bring back so much nostalgia. It was a wonderful time, and I'll never forget those days.
If you see stuff like that, Paul, you're in the running to be our Club Med caller a week, Paul. Thank you. Steve of Warwicknabeel's got a wrestling yarn. G'day, Steve.
Yeah, g'day, guys. So I was born and bred in Wentworthville. So my childhood through the 70s, all I can remember was Friday nights, which I thought was at the Horton Pavilion. But maybe I'm wrong there. But yeah, Larry O'Day, Ronnie Miller. The best move of the lot was the Claw Boys. The big just hand across the head and it hurt. You got tapped out. It was amazing. My old man used to drag me there every Friday night. It was great.
The Claw, the Heart Punch, the Sleeper Hold, the Figure Four Leg Lock. Thank you, Steve. Wonderful. John of Harrington Park, I think he wants to steer us away from wrestling, James.
Hey, boys, how you going? Although I did love Tex McKenzie, I'll throw that in. Boys, interesting thing aside to tonight's game, the big clash, is it's JWH's 300, Jack White and JW, it's his first game for South. In 2019, there was that mix-up at the grand final for the Clive Churchill medal, where JWH went to go on stage and went, no, sorry, you haven't won it. He has. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that part of the yarn. It's commentating,
Rossi.
What, you think they were going to give it by initials, the Clive Churchill Medal, the CCM?
I backed Jack White for Man of the Match, so I remember it. But yeah, so if they lock horns tonight, I reckon I'll be an extra feeling from JWH in the title.
All right, okay.
A little bit of spite. I like it.
Great batch of calls there on the Great Southern Bank open line. Now, every Friday we chat with Simon Orchard from Greyhound Racing New South Wales, or as James sometimes calls him, Simon Orchard.
Yep.
Simon's off today. So Mick Cowley joins us. Mick, this must be a career highlight, coming on Breakfast with Vossie and the Missile.
Right. Nothing else goes anywhere near it, boys. Good morning. And how good is it to chat about the wrestling? I feel sorry for the kids of today that didn't get to live through those days of going to the Horden Pavilion and watching the wrestling or watching it on TV. It was just it was one of the highlights of my life, that's for sure.
Now, we've got the Golden Easter Egg coming up, not far away, Mick.
Mate, it's not far away at all. They kick off next Saturday, not tomorrow, but Saturday week, and it's pretty much the highlight for any trainer. I know we've got races worth $1 million, and that's certainly a highlight for everyone, but this is the one that the trainers all want to win. It's the one that's time-honoured, it's got prestige, it's got history, and it's got a hell of a trophy too. There's not too many sports that have a big gold egg as the trophy, apart from Easter egg hunts, no doubt, but it's the one they all do want to win, and we'll see a stack of really good dogs come up here next Saturday for the heats, and then the week after the semi, and then the finals on the 13th of April, and it's worth $350 to the winner as well. So it's plenty happening at the moment in greyhound racing, that's for sure.
And the CEO's on a bit of a state tour.
Mate, he is indeed. The CEO and the chairman, Rob McCauley and Adam Castleton, they've decided to take it back to the people in a lot of ways. We always get a lot of feedback from our participants and our stakeholders as to what's going on in the industry, and they want to know what's going on, and we want to know what their thoughts are. So the CEO and the chairman are embarking on a tour. The tour itself doesn't go for 7 weeks, but it's across 7 weeks, and they're going around crisscrossing the state to various country venues, starting this Sunday in Grafton. From there, they'll come back to Goulburn, they go to Tamworth, they go to Wagga, Dubbo, right across the state, basically getting everyone's feedback on what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, fix things.
Beautiful, love it. If you had a tip for us, I know we're a bit out from the golden Easter eggs yet, but crystal ball, who's the best bet?
Oh, geez, crystal ball, that's a tricky one, that's for sure. There's a lot of good dogs going around at the moment, and we'll no doubt get plenty from interstate as well. There's a dog that goes around tonight called Overflow Bow. It's absolutely flying. It'll win tonight, no dramas at all. But it's one bit of a smoky in the Easter egg, and there's a dog going around tomorrow night at Wentworth Park called Good Odds Cobber. It'll be one of the top fancies going through the series as well.
Overflow Bow, there it is, the best bet. Thanks for joining us, Mick. Hopefully we'll have you on again one day.
Fingers crossed, mate. Good to chat.
There
good
he stuff. Is, Mick. Matty Johns isn't far away with Morning Glory here on SEN. And in just a moment, Vossi, we're going to announce our Club Med Caller of the Week.
Lots of people confirming the Clive Churchill Medal mix-up between JWH and JW. Thank you for the feedback. Don't dig blind. Search before you dig online every time. BYDA.com.au. How about this one, James? We have a dig at, the baseball sensation. Shohei Ohtani, now playing for the LA Dodgers. His interpreter has skimmed him something like $1 million to pay his gambling debts.
Really?
His interpreter.
Wow.
He's doing, who knows what he has, like the interpreting. You'd have to look into everything he does, but what about his, no scruples at all. So we have a dig at the interpreter who's taken about $1 million out of the bloke's account and transferred it to cover his own gambling debts. Don't dig blind, search before you dig online every time, BYDA.com.au. Club Med Caller of the Week, what have you got for us, James?
Look, I'm going to go with Darren of Ingleburn, who rang us. He was on Wednesday, had his say on Latrell Mitchell and the Rabbitohs. He's now in the draw to be our Club Med Caller of the Year. And with that, a chance of winning a trip to Bali worth nearly $10,000. Need to get away? Choose Club Med. Premium all-inclusive holidays. Visit Club Med online or your local travel agent.
Great stuff. Lots of people reacted to our Michael Cleary interview. You can download that on the podcast. One of the quotes from it, Mark said, this is the quote that he's taken out of it. Dumb and small, but fast and good looking. Brilliant story. Mark told it. Michael told it so well and certainly hit a nerve with Mark. So many people talking about the wrestling. Seriously, Hutchie, we need a wrestling program on SEN. King Curtis Hawaiian Splash. Mario Milano bringing the opponent back to conscious after the sleeper hold. Also, the abdominal stretch move by Spiros Arion. Chief Little Wolf and Wee Willie Wilson. Midget wrestlers, could you demo the heart punch on missile? Thank you. Won't be happening, but yes, the heart. I can do what this is what I used to do. So Ox Baker would do this. He put the clenched fist upright and horizontally come down with a hand. You knew the heart punch was coming.
Yeah, right.
And that you're about to meet your maker.
There you go, the heart punch. Might practice a little heart punch on Matty Johns when he comes into the studio.
Morning,
there he is.
Great idea. Well, at least give one to Denkamp just a little little sleeper hold. And Andrew Webster, he can please himself. Matty Johns up next with Morning Glory. SEN, huge week in sport. Coverage tonight of Warriors and Raiders. Fox League, the only place to watch both games on a Friday night. James, have a great weekend lifting those weights, getting the shirt off.
You too, Vossi. Enjoy Leichhardt Oval.
Giddy up, double cone time. See you, folks. Come on, come on.